I suppose I probably ought to tell you where I've been the last couple of weeks. Back in Michigan. That was not the response I expected. Hey, okay, I think I follow that. We had beautiful weather. I think it rained here while I was gone quite a bit. Did it? Always. It's like we're preparing to build an ark. The usher, the board is talking about the feasibility of building an ark and so on, and taking two of every kind, whatever that would be. We had a great time, saw old friends, saw family, had a family reunion up in northern Michigan, got all the way to Mackinac. Now, my son Aaron drove every mile, which I greatly appreciated. I did suggest to him at one point, I said, I think I know why you're insisting on driving every mile. He said, well, why do you think? And I said, you've got a new baby, son, in this van. You've got your wife in this van, and I am now a 60-year-old stroke victim. He did not answer me, which told me I was kind of on the right track, but he drove every mile, and it was kind of interesting to me because Jenna had been looking forward to seeing the Mackinac Bridge. How many of you have ever heard of the Mackinac Bridge? It's a very large suspension bridge between the two peninsulas of Michigan over the Straits of Mackinac. And we drove all the way to Mackinac, and the question was twofold. Will we get Mackinac Island fudge? Have any of you ever had that? Oh, yes. Is it good? It is. It's the best, I think, in the world. I'll stand by it. So we got to Mackinac, we got the fudge, and Jenna was wanting to see the bridge. And Aaron, by then, was in that mood that guys get into, where he just wants to get the trip done. And she got to see it, I think, out of the rearview mirror as we were pulling back out. We got to see a Tiger baseball game at Comerica Park. Someone asked me, how was the game? I said, lame. But it was nice to be at the ballpark, so it was good. But rain here. Friday evening, I drove through the heaviest rain that I have driven through in many years. It was heavy rain. How many of you were out in it? Okay. We had a young lady in the church who was out in that rain, and she got a flat tire. Oh, out there in that rain, and had to be rescued by about five guys. And so that was exciting. It was interesting to me that we have this stuff going about the rain, because water had been on my mind quite a lot lately anyway. And I was up here Tuesday evening for the prayer meeting that we had, One Body. And before the meeting began, I heard Leona Helwig. Where are you at, Leona? Saying something profound. She said, my flowers need watering. And when she said that, I suddenly had something click in my mind. And I knew what I was going to preach about on Sunday morning. Because the fact of the matter is, we all need water. And we know it. I have water up here. You might ask, why do I have water with me? My throat gets dry. Why does it get dry? It gets dry because I'm dehydrated. Why am I dehydrated? I don't drink enough water. I'm just learning that that actually is the reason that my throat gets raspy and so on is because I'm dehydrated. I had no idea. Why? Because I apparently don't have a good thirst mechanism. I can get very, very dehydrated and not realize that I don't have enough water until I get some kind of a physical symptom. How many of you have that problem? Oh, I'm not alone. Okay. So I've noticed that over a period of years. So Leona mentioned this, and my mind immediately went to water, and my mind began to run in a number of different directions. I'll have you look into the Word of God with me. We are going to be sharing today out of John chapter 4, the first 14 verses. Title of the message is, Not a Drop to Drink. Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Well, let me share with you, first of all, the message that I would have preached on Tuesday evening. On Tuesday evening, as I say, when Leona made that comment, my mind immediately kind of grabbed on to that idea. And I began to think about all of the people around me who in one way or another seem to have needs. How many of you are aware of people who have needs? All kinds of needs. I'm aware of people who have financial needs, people who are kind of messed up emotionally. They have emotional needs, and people who are in need of guidance and they're confused. Just all different kinds of things, all different kinds of situations. And so I began to think in these terms, that every person has a need to be watered and an ability to water others. So I thought about doing this. I thought about actually having something to put in your hands that would be water. And kind of a cup of water sort of thing, maybe one of those little solo cups, and share with you about the fact that so many people around you are in need of water, and God has given you resources, and you can help meet the needs of other people. How many of you had that part figured out? And it would be an inspirational kind of a message, and you would run out of here with your cup of water, looking to see to whom you could give a cup of water in the name of the Lord. That was my initial idea. But I mentioned to Linda, she has a lot of ideas bounced off her. I said, that's not a sermon. That's a notion. There's a difference between having a notion and having a sermon. I said, when you get right down to it, that's a good idea, but it doesn't quite go far enough. And so I began to really look through Scripture, began to look at all of the references I could find to people who were in need of water, all of the references I could find about wells and things along that line, because I knew God was wanting to say something more. And I began to reflect again about some of the ways that we can water others. You can water others with encouragement. How many of you ever need encouragement? You can admit it. Oh, back in West Michigan, they're so stubborn, they won't admit it. Yeah. Do you need encouragement? Too strong to need encouragement. I don't need encouragement, I give encouragement. That sort of is the mindset, the mentality, and so on. I think we're a bit more humble out here in the Northeast. Yes, you need encouragement. I need encouragement. Now, I would ask you this. How often do you think to give other people encouragement? Do you? Is it natural for you? It has become a natural part of my life. It was not when I was a young man. I was terrible at encouraging people. You might ask why. Because I always thought I was the guy that needed it. You tend not to give encouragement when you're focused on you. You tend to go through life wanting to receive it, kind of looking around, is anyone noticing what I'm doing? How many of you ever have felt like a martyr? Come on. One? We got one? Well, you'd better get right up here to this altar then. I know I have. I felt that way before. I have had that feeling, you know, of Lord, only I am left who serves you and who bows my knee to you when they seek me to take my life. There are times that you think that you're the only person doing anything and you're the only person who loves anybody. You're the only person who's praying for anybody. You're the only person who cares about the country. You and only you are left. You've never felt that way? I know sometimes when I was a young man, I would be almost kind of desperate for encouragement. And do you know why people said later that they did not give me encouragement? They didn't think I needed it. Because I'm one of those guys, I look about the same when I'm feeling good, when I'm feeling bad, when I'm high and when I'm low. I'm sort of a flat liner in some ways. I have all kinds of internal passion, but on the outside, you know, I try to stay calm and unruffled and so on, like a duck floating upon a pond. He looks so serene, and down underneath, you know, the feet are like going like this to propel him along. And that's pretty much the way I was raised, and it's the way a lot of you were raised. And so I have an awareness that a lot of the time people who surround me need encouragement. Now, sometimes we get a glimpse, and we're able to see that that kind of a need is there, but often we don't. And so the fact of the matter is, you might be sitting beside someone right now who needs encouragement. In fact, I would be willing to bet that you are sitting beside someone who needs encouragement. So I'm going to give you a moment to turn to whoever is sitting beside you and give them a word of encouragement. Oh, yeah, I see what's going on. I see some where we have married couples. And I could almost hear someone saying, I just want to encourage you to keep those good meals coming. I want to encourage you to keep cleaning the house and picking up my dirty socks. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's encouraging, right? So some of you probably had this thought. Well, what can I say that a person would find encouraging? Because I am not normal. How many of you had that figured out? I'm not. I had someone come to me years ago and say, Pastor, I encourage you, but I don't know how. And I said, okay. I said, here's what makes me tick. Results. Results. What encourages me? Results. And so you can tell me, I suppose, oh, you're doing a great job, doing wonderful, oh, great message. I hear that, and I think sometimes I actually need that. But what matters to me is to actually see God working in people's lives. It matters to me when I see the lights come on and somebody gets a truth they haven't gotten before, when somebody actually becomes involved in something that they haven't been involved in before, if they are growing spiritually and I can discern that, if somebody comes to Christ, that is encouraging to me. So it's like, show me the results and I will be encouraged. And some of you are that way. And some of you, to be encouraged, you have to have fun. You just have to be able to have a good time once in a while. How many of you are that way? You're kind of a sanguine personality. Hey, I just want to have fun. Are we having fun yet? And so I know that what you need, like more than anything else, is for somebody probably to put down $20 or $50 and take you out to have a good time in a Christian way. Thought I'd better get that out there. And you would feel encouraged. Because encouragement is kind of specific to the individual and specific to the circumstance and the time in a person's life that they might need encouragement. And so we can water others with encouragement. We can water others with kindness. The world is an unkind place. How many of you knew that? I worked on a construction crew when I was in college, and I learned how those guys operate. They're not tremendously empathetic. I may have mentioned this to some of you, but I remember a summer day, and my brother-in-law was the head of the crew, and his brothers, who are friends of mine, working on the crew, and we were tacking on a deck. How many of you have ever done that? Putting down the plywood, the 3x4, 3/4-inch sheets, grew plywood, and I was tacking the corners with 8-penny nails, and then my friend Dwayne was coming, and he was tacking down the lines. You do that, the cracks. And I was wanting to get a suntan, so I didn't have a shirt on. And suddenly I felt a bee sting. Ooh, right in my belly. And I thought, that's not good. I looked down, it was not a bee. It was an 8-penny nail. Dwayne apparently hit the top of another nail, and it ricocheted up, got me right in the belly, and so it's sticking in there a ways. Oh, does that sound gross? It looked gross. So I'm looking down at this nail sticking out of my gut, and my brother-in-law is cracking up. Why? Because he's a guy. Yeah, he's cracking up. And he's saying, oh, I wish I had a nail sticking out of my belly. Okay, I got you. So we live in a tough world, a rough world. You know, you're kind of expected to pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and keep on going no matter what happens. But kindness is a nice thing. You don't encounter it all that often. So I'll go back to that summer. Speaking of water, I was working by myself raking rocks. How many of you have ever raked rocks? Just a handful of you have. Okay, big aluminum rake, and you finish grade is what it's calling. They come in after they bring in loads of dirt and new house construction, take a blade of a bulldozer and pull it on back, and they get it basically smoothed out. But it has rocks and other things all sticking out of that dirt, and so they have some idiot who's about 19 or 20 years old who comes with a big aluminum rake, and you rake the stuff out to smooth it out. You want it as smooth as possible. And as you rake it out, you pull up other rocks, so you're pulling back stones, you're getting a pile of stones, you're pulling them with you as you get that smoothed out. Well, that was what I was doing that day, and I was working alongside a house that had at that time what was like brand new kind of insulation. It was the stuff that looks like aluminum foil, that stuff. And so apparently when it's 90 degrees outside and you're working with the sun reflecting off that hitting you, apparently you can get like sunstroke. I know that I was working out there a few hours, and then a lady came over like from another house down and said, you need to sit down. And I said, I'm working. She said, you need to sit down. She said, I've been watching you. You're weaving all over the place. Not the first time in my life. Weaving all over. And she had tea for me. She had made for me some, it wasn't Michigan tea. Michigan tea is like New York tea. It's unsweetened. But I wasn't complaining. I was dehydrated, and I drank several glasses of that, and I was refreshed. She gave me a cup of cold water, and it kept me going through the rest of the day. So you can do that. You can have like a random act of kindness. People are figuring this out here in our society. You go to McDonald's once in a while. Maybe you've had the experience, and they tell you when you get to the window, oh, the car in front paid for your meal. Have you ever had that happen? I have. Kind of blew my mind. And then, of course, the idea is you pass it forward. So you do that for somebody else. You go ahead and you say, well, what's the bill for the car behind me? Okay, here it is. You go ahead and you pay it. You get up there, they get up there, and it blows their mind. And you might say, well, it's a relatively unimportant thing. I would agree it's relatively unimportant, but simply knowing that there are people who are doing acts of kindness is a great encouragement to you. And you can encourage people. By helping them separate their notes. By giving assistance. Because sometimes people are trying to do things that are beyond their strength to do. We used to open doors for ladies. Do you remember that? My dad got chewed out for it 40 years ago. He didn't know what to say about that. He opened a door for a woman going into a store. She looked at him and said, "I can open a door for myself, thank you very much." And he asked me what I thought in this new society and world we were forming that he ought to do. I said, "Keep opening the doors. They may chew you out, but open the door." People need assistance from time to time. So that was what I was going to preach about. But this water, if you drink it, you'll thirst again. That becomes the problem. The problem is that most anything that we do that is human in nature does not permanently take care of a need and of a problem. The waters of human caring, if you're in your notes, can have a great and immediate effect, but the effect will always be temporary. Okay, I give someone a cup of cold water in the name of the Lord, it slakes their thirst. Bet you wish you had one of these. Don't worry, the effect will wear off. I'll begin to get thirsty again before too much more time goes by. You might again ask why. Because this whole matter of life is a process. I have all kinds of biological processes going on within me, and those processes aren't something that are a one-time thing. You don't drink one cup of water, and that takes care of you now for the rest of your life. You're going to thirst again, you're going to hunger again, you're going to need more air. If we shut all the air off and we just took all the oxygen out of here, very shortly we'd be finding that whatever the air was that's in our lungs only lasts us actually for like seconds, a matter of seconds. And then we have to have more, we have to have more. My granddad put it this way. He was talking about eating. He said, "Eating is a bad habit to get into. Because once you start, you can never stop." Now, I'd just like you to think about that, though, in spiritual terms. Only the needs of the Spirit can be fully and permanently met. And only Jesus can meet them. Here's a Samaritan woman. He asks her for a cup of water. He's physically thirsty. He's Lord, he's Savior, he's the King of Kings, but he is physically thirsty anyway because he has taken on human flesh. And so he has a need, and he asks her to go ahead and to meet that need, and they enter into a conversation, and he very expertly shifts it in the direction of a spiritual need. And he says, "If you knew who it was that you were talking to," I'll paraphrase, "if you knew who you were talking to, you'd ask me, and I would give you living water, and it would become in you a well of life, springing up to eternal life." Living water. "Sir, you know, where is this water? Is it greater than the water of our father Jacob?" Oh, yes. This living water, this Holy Spirit, is something that meets my needs repeatedly, day after day. I need the encouragement of God. I need the love of God. I need His mercy. I need His forgiveness. All of these things I don't need merely once. That's something that a lot of people never really figure out about Christianity, and it messes them up. And so I want you to kind of carefully check your thinking right on this point. We read in the Bible about confessing. How many of you knew, like, the four steps of salvation? You've been told about that. You've learned about that. Could you name them? Wow, we ought to have a lot of business today. Confess. It all begins with confession. A lot of people don't understand what confession truly means. They think it means to simply throw your hands up and say, yep, I did it. Confession is taking responsibility. It's owning it. And so if your life is a mess, it's going to remain a mess until you confess and you own it, and you're able to come to the place of self-honesty where you can say, my life is a mess because of choices I have made. It will never improve until you get past that point. As long as you're kind of pointing the finger out elsewhere, you're not in control of your own life. So it begins with confession. And God says we need to confess. Yes, I have sinned. You might say, I've messed up. That's where most of us have been at some point in our lives. How many of you have come to that place in your life where you realized, boy, have I ever messed up? And the second part is repent. Change. Don't just, confess that you messed up and then continue to live the same way. You want to make changes in your life. You want to get the bad stuff out. You want to get the good stuff in. I love these people around here that I've been meeting who deal with people who do drugs and different things like that. I've been learning a lot. And I've heard a few statements that stuck. You can't hang around with dogs and not get fleas. Right? Yeah. So you might need to make changes in your life. Because if you want to have a different life, things have to change. You've got to actually begin to associate in different ways with different people. In some cases, it's painful, but it's a readjustment. You've got to begin to think different thoughts. You've got to begin to use different words. You know, if you're a person that's always taking great pride in how cruel you can be to other people, we don't call it that usually. We just say, oh, I have a quick tongue. You don't want to mess with me. Oh, I'll slice you to ribbons. I've had people tell me that. Kevin, you're laughing. You've heard that. Yeah, I've had people tell me that. I now have a standard response when I hear that. Well, aren't you proud? You can't keep doing things the same way and expect to get a different result, so it's repentance. And third thing is, you've got to believe. You've got to put your belief in a person. And if you want to be saved, you've got to put your belief in Jesus Christ. Because he died so that you could be forgiven. Forgiveness is not automatic. We don't get that today. I go to funerals, and everybody makes it now. You know what I'm saying? They talk them in. Well, you can talk a person in. That doesn't put them in. The only word that is going to allow a person into heaven is the word of Jesus Christ. And so when you get right down to it, you must have a person in whom you can put your trust, in whom you believe, and for me, that is Jesus. I did that quite a few years ago now, and I have not been disappointed. You might ask me, well, Pastor, have you ever regretted it? Not once. Because I have a new life, because he became within my heart a well of living water springing up. And so he gives me my strength. He gives me my encouragement. He fills me with his love and his joy and his peace. Who would not want to be filled with these things? The question is, Do you go to the right place to become filled with these things? The source is going to be Jesus. And then the fourth part of that is, you actually have to receive him. A lot of people do not welcome Jesus into their life. They want to kind of reach out the door toward Jesus. You ever had one of those salespeople come to the door? And they want to come in and make their presentation, and they'll give you the Ginshu knives. Yeah, I had somebody come to my door like a year and a half ago or so. Actually, there were about five people, and they said they were doing sales training, and they wanted to come in and show me this great new product. And I asked how much it was. No. They didn't want to share how much it was going to be. And I said, well, no, then you can't come. We'll clean your house. And I guess I'm getting more like my dad as I get older. Well, how much is it going to cost me if you come in and clean my house? Oh, there's no charge. Well, then why would you do it? I did not receive them into my house. There are times that someone's come to the door and they've not gotten in, but they had something they wanted to give me. I reach my hand out, I take it. That's what a lot of us want to do with Jesus. We want to reach out the door and receive his forgiveness, but we don't necessarily want to receive him and have him coming in to the house of our life, because he might start rearranging the furniture. Probably heard me tell you about that. My sister came to visit for a week, and she was kind of in crisis. We invited her in, and a week goes by. I come home from the office, and the furniture is rearranged, and it wasn't Linda who rearranged it. That's right. What are you thinking? Any of you old enough to remember Kung Fu? Time for you to leave. And some of us are like that with Jesus. When it's time for change, we decide it's time for you to leave. Have you really received Jesus? Only the needs of the Spirit can be fully and permanently met. But this living water of Jesus, it's free. All we need to do is ask. I'm increasingly aware of the fact that I am now in central New York. Aren't you glad that I'm increasingly aware of that? It's like Then maybe 4 or 5 months ago, I don't recall who made a statement, and suddenly something clicked in my mind, and I realized, you know what? Back in West Michigan, you'd always be talking to a lot of former Calvinists. Out here in New York, you're all the time talking to a lot of former Catholics. How many of you are former Catholics? Right. Did you know that Catholics tend to be works-oriented? The problem is you never know when you've done enough. And the problem is that works are not what God wants. We are what he wants. Our love is what he wants. And so I just want to say, it's not a matter where here on one side are good works, here on the other are the bad. And this is what I sometimes hear. Well, the good outweighs the bad. Do you know what happens when the good outweighs the bad and you've not received the grace of God? You go to hell. That's what happens. You might say, yeah, but the good outweighed the bad. You don't outweigh bad. You erase bad, or it doesn't get done. You erase it. How can you erase it? You have been around long enough to know when you've done wrong things in your life, you can't just make it go away. But God's willing to forgive it. And he can make it go away. You might say, well, it can never be forgotten, not by you. But God has an infinite ability to forget what he wants to forget. And the fact of the matter is, he wants to forgive your sin. He wants to come into your life. He wants to be there. He is the living water. He is the one who can satisfy your need, not for a day, but for an eternity. I'd like you to stand with me. That's kind of a perfect choice on Tammy's part. Like a woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. How many of you know that song? The fact of the matter is, that would be my story. As a young man, I just felt empty all the time. Felt like there was nothing inside, didn't know who I was. Some people come to God because they feel like they've done a lot of wrong, and I had done a lot of wrong, but my main problem was I just feel so empty. I don't feel that way now. My life is full of so much, and my heart is full of so much, and yours can be too. And of the good things and of the right things, not of hurt and pain and wound. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would just speak to our hearts. And if there is someone here today that has pain in their heart rather than having experienced healing, if there's someone here who is experiencing emptiness rather than fullness, someone has darkness rather than light within, I pray that you would speak to them and that you would show them it truly is just that simple. It's a matter just as Jesus received a cup of water from that Samaritan woman. It's a matter of receiving something that is freely given. And you are offering out to us eternal life, spiritual life, life that will never end, life that truly satisfies. And I pray that no one would leave here today without having had that experience. Our altar's open. You can come and you can kneel. You can pray and ask God to give that to you. God doesn't really care what posture you're in. You could sit down in your chair and you can pray and receive that. Right where you're standing, you can pray. You can receive that. But the critical thing is the act of your own will. You have to choose to receive it. It is not going to be forced upon you and pressed upon you. You have to want it. So, do you want it? Everybody close their eyes real tight, so tight they hurt. Do you want it? Would you raise a hand and allow me to pray for you? Heavenly Father, you with great compassion see the hearts that are attached to the hands that were just raised. And you want desperately to come into these hearts. I pray that everything that would stand between you and entry into these lives would be taken away. Every action of their will that would resist you, that it would simply be them crying out from their need, Lord, please come in, wash, clean, take possession, take ownership, have my life, do with my life what you wish, because I know that what you wish is so much better than what I wish. And I pray that you would do that. And I pray that they would know right now as they're praying that you are coming in and that you're forgiving, you're cleaning, and you're filling them with joy, that they can have the joy of sins forgiven and have the joy of knowing you. I thank you, Lord, for that. Pray that they will give you praise and give you testimony of that. In Jesus' name, amen.